This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football. Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. I'm here today with my friend Dave DiPaolo, and Dave is a sports historian. Today we're going to discuss one of the greatest heavyweight fights ever took place, the Thriller in Manila, the 1975 fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. So a little background leading up to the fight. Their first fight was in March of 1971. And it's still considered one of the best heavyweight fights of all time. Frazier won that fight by a unanimous decision. The rematch didn't take place until almost 3 years later. It was January of 1974 was their second fight. And that was also, the first fight was at Madison Square Garden. The second fight was at Madison Square Garden. Ali won the second fight by unanimous decision. That was a non-title fight because Frazier had lost the title to George Foreman in 1973. So in of 1974, Muhammad Ali faced George Foreman and beat Foreman to take the title. Now, Frazier only had two fights. Since his loss to Ali, January of 1974, after that, he only had two fights. He beat Jerry Quarry, and he beat Jimmy Ellis. And then, let's see. For Ali, after Ali beat Foreman to take the title, Ali beat Chuck Wepner. He beat Ron Lyle, and he beat Joe Bugner. So boxing fans were anticipating an Ali and Foreman rematch. But that didn't happen because Foreman hadn't even been, he got depressed, and he hadn't even been fighting after he lost Ali. He went into a depression. He didn't even fight anybody after Ali. He was in terrible shape. He was not in shape. So that rematch didn't happen. So instead of Ali and Foreman, we got the rematch, the third fight with Ali and Frazier. And Ali's advisors didn't think it would be a difficult fight for Ali, because they thought that Frazier was slowing down. He was washed up, burnt out, nearing retirement. And as was his custom, Ali did a lot of trash talking before the fight, even going so far as to call Frazier a gorilla.
Yeah.
Trash talking worked on most of his opponents. His trash talking worked. But it didn't work on Frazier because Frazier fought better when he was angry. And so both fighters trained very hard for this fight. They were both in great shape. And it's a good thing they were, because I don't know if you have the information on this, Dave. Well, of course, the fight was in Manila, which is in the Philippines. It was in October, and it's the climate there. In October, it's still like summertime, like where we live, Dave. August and July and August, that's what it's like there, and still in October. Now, yep. I don't know what happened with the air conditioning in that arena. Either it failed to work, or maybe they didn't even have air conditioning. I don't know, but there was no air conditioning. So in the ring, they say the temperature was about 120 degrees in the ring.
Yep. Yeah. They had it recorded at Mark, at 107, but that doesn't count the humidity. They said the humidity was brutal, they said.
Oh yeah, it was brutal.
And the way they spoke about this arena and a couple of things that I read, I would have to go with the second thing that you said about not having any air conditioning at all. Because I don't think they did, because they let me get back for 1 minute, Mark, to that second Ali Frazier fight, the one in 1974. Right. I watched that fight before I looked at this Thrill in Manila. And the Ali Frazier 2 fight was almost like nobody even talks about it. It was still a very good fight.
Right.
And the problem with that fight was Ali, he was holding Frazier by the back of the head. They counted 133 clinches. 133 clinches. And I looked at the stats from it. Ali landed 181 punches to Frazier's 172. And that that fight was a little closer than people think, you know, because Frazier had a better percentage of landing. He had almost double the percentage of landing than Ali did. But I had 6-5-1. In favor of Ali, which was exactly what the referee had, actually. But that was a kind of a, like, you know what it was? Like you said, Mark, it wasn't a title fight. It just didn't.
Yeah.
Well, then they sold out the Garden, was sold out quickly, too, in fact.
Right. I guess because it was a non-title fight, and people were really, like I said, people were anticipating that there was going to be an Ali and Foreman rematch. So this, you know, this second Frazier and Ali fight, I guess it was not nearly as anticipated as their first fight.
No. And they were both, I was looking at that, and you talked about the third fight, the one we're going to discuss, and I looked at the weights. And, you know, Ali, that second fight when they fought was actually the lightest he was of the three fights. And this, at this fight here, he came in at 224.5, supposedly. And Frazier came in at 215. That's over 10 pounds more than he was in the first fight. I think he was like 204 or 205 or something like that. And you could see it, too. When you watch that third fight, Frazier looks a little heavier. So does Ali.
Well, they were both about 4 years older than their first fight, so.
Yes.
I
comparing it to the first fight, Mark, after watching it, and then we did have the show on the first one about a year ago. I think that third fight was actually more brutal physically because of the temperature that we just talked about, because of they were a little older. And believe it or not, Ali really mixed it up in that fight there. He tried to get Frazier early in the fight. You could see he didn't really want to go the distance. He was really trying to finish him off quick. Frazier being a notorious slow starter, he tried to do him in, and he was boxing flat-footed, and he was really loading up on his punches. But by the fourth or fifth round, Frazier was back into it. He had a pretty good rhythm.
Yeah, he really went, like you say, Ali really went on the attack those first two rounds, because, like you say, Frazier, he knew that Frazier was a slow starter. In all of his fights, he was always a slow starter. So he was kind of like compared to the Rocky movie, you know. Rocky Balboa always had to take a good beating to get himself angry. He'd have to get angry.
There was
he'd have to take a good beating.
I don't know if Stallone was basing a lot of that stuff on Joe Frazier, but a lot of it was very similar to, you know, he was from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He was hitting the, he was, Frazier worked in a meat packing thing, and he was hitting the meat. Same, I mean, guarantee he must have got some of those things out of that. He must have. It's too much of a coincidence.
Yeah. I've heard him speak about it. He did from Frazier. So, like you say, the first two rounds were, Ali pretty much dominated the first two rounds. Then in the third round.
He really did.
I think he.
The third, the ahead, first two rounds I did, I was looking at him and I gave to Ali. But before I even touch on that, let me just say this, Mark. Did you know, I didn't know this, that this was one of the first pay-per-view events? I didn't think pay-per-view went back that far. I didn't realize it. They had over 500,000 pay-per-view customers at home for this. I don't remember having pay-per-view at home, but I wasn't really old. I was only 16 at the time of this fight, so I wasn't really. And the other thing, too, Mark, I don't know if you remember. I don't really remember. I remember listening to this fight on a radio, but I don't remember it as vividly as I remember the first fight.
Right. They would give you the round-by-round on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pay-per-view, like the first fight, they would have it in the movie theaters, right?
And that was kind of new.
Yeah.
Now it was at home, but this was much more watched than the first one, believe it or not. This had they claimed that this had 1 billion viewers around the world, this fight. 1 billion.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And the other thing, too, Mark, pre-fight, I looked up some pretty good pre-fight information that they wanted a referee who was going to stop that holding. You know, he was going to stop it. Ali put the glove in the back of Frazier's head. He'd draw him in. And so they got a local guy, this referee Padilla, Carlos Padilla. He was a local guy from down there. And this is another thing I did not know. They were looking for this guy. His name was Zach Clayton. He was a referee for the Ali Foreman fight. Yeah. And they said that the mayor, he was a very famous mayor in Philadelphia at the time, Frank Rizzo. And he was a real tough guy. And they said that he actually had this guy Clayton working because he worked for the civil service of the city of Philadelphia. And he kept the guy working so he couldn't possibly even do the fight if they wanted him to. I think Rizzo was a big Frazier fan, but they didn't want all this, a lot of this holding going on, which Ali also did in the Foreman fight a little. So that's why they tried to get that other guy out of the way, believe it or not. And the other thing, too, they had negotiations prior to the fight for what the guys preferred. And because Ali was the champion, he actually got more preference. And he got a bigger ring size. He requested a bigger ring size. And he also requested 8-ounce gloves, lighter gloves.
Yeah.
Thinking maybe he'd be a little quicker. Or maybe he knew the gloves were going to fill up with sweat. You know what I mean? So those were two things that he requested, the 21-foot ring and the lighter gloves. And he got both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember he requested a bigger ring.
Yep.
Because he used the ring, you know, he'd be dancing all over. But the third round, I think because Ali knew that he wasn't going to be able to keep that kind of pace up with the temperatures being the way they were, I think he kind of slowed down the third round and he tried that rope-a-dope like he did with Foreman. He tried the rope-a-dope. But Frazier didn't fall for it like Foreman did, and he just kept pounding Ali's ribs. And then the final minute of that fight, let's see, I lost my note there.
In the third round, Mark?
The third round, yeah. Ali was doing the rope-a-dope, and Frazier was just pounding on his ribs.
Yes, he racked up a lot of points, Frazier, with body shots in this fight.
Yep. A lot of body shots.
People forget about that. People, and not only that, you have to get points for being the aggressor in boxing. Right. They do give you points. And he was the aggressor and everyone. Ali did get him to back up once or twice in this fight. But I had the third and fourth round like almost even. Ali started those rounds quick. Frazier came back in both of those rounds and scored a lot of points with body shots. In fact, if you listen to the audio on that fight, you could start to hear him starting. He was starting to grunt, Frazier, when he was throwing those body shots.
Yeah. Yeah, he was putting a lot into those body shots.
Yep.
And then he started, you know, getting in a rhythm. He started getting in a rhythm, and he was doing the bobbing and weaving that he was known for. So a lot of Ali's punches were starting to miss.
Yes.
Because Frazier was bobbing and weaving. And then I think it was the fourth round. He hit Ali with two rights to the head, which surprised Ali because Frazier, this is kind of an unknown fact too. He didn't use his right very much because he had arthritis in that elbow, in his right elbow. He had arthritis. And so he didn't really use his right hand other than the body shots. He was known for his left hook, but he surprised Ali because he hit him with two rights to the head. I think that was the fourth or the fifth round.
Yeah.
So how did you have, like you said, the fourth round you had pretty much
I thought it was pretty even. I gave the fifth. I had Frazier winning a lot of the middle rounds, a lot of them. The sixth round was his best round, I think, or one of his best rounds of the fight. He actually hurt Ali in that round, in the sixth round. That was a very big round for Joe Frazier. What he was starting to do too was he was starting to do double up with this left. He would go to the body and then go to the head.
Yeah. Yep. And he connected with a left hook in that sixth round. He connected with a left hook, and it knocked Ali into the ropes.
Yes. Yep. More than one left hook. He really.
Well, yeah.
He had a big round. I mean, I gave the other two after that. I was pretty much even. I mean, Ali wasn't. He would come out fast. That was his big thing. He always came out quick, Ali, and he finished the rounds good. But at this fight here, he wasn't really finishing him off great. I think by the middle rounds, he was very tired, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. That heat was getting to him. And he was older, of course. He was older. I think he was about 2 years older than Frazier.
I think so.
So I think he was 33 in this fight. Frazier was 31.
Yes, you're right.
So I'm sure that played a factor too, you know, that between that unbearable heat and getting older, you know, he's 33. Yeah, but you're right. He caught him with two left hooks. He caught him more than once in that sixth round.
Yes.
And knocked him into the ropes.
Yes. You know, he didn't do much clowning in this fight, if you noticed. And he didn't do much talking either.
No, I don't think he had the energy.
The referee said years later that he occasionally was coming out with a one, a two, a three, and he was saying some nursery rhymes, like, but not much, not like the first fight, you know?
Right. Yep.
And, you know, one other thing, too, there was a little turmoil before this fight. Ali brought this his mistress down there, you know. He had a mistress, and she showed up. And not only did she show up, but then Ali's wife flew down there because she caught wind of it somehow. Think of this happening before. Yeah. Think of all this going on before a fight. And, and this was, I forgot to mention that. I wanted to mention it before. He went out and he had a big, although I'll tell you, the crowd was pretty even as far as, but he did have a big following because he spent a lot of time out there with the people. He got down there, I think, a week earlier than Frazier. That's how the thing about the mistress came out, by the way. But that's a crazy thing to happen right before a fight.
Yeah.
Like kind of an unwanted destroy. You don't really want that, right?
Oh, no. Like a circus.
No.
But that was Ali. There was always like a circus in his camp.
No, it really was. And they had the, you know, that's another thing. Not just the third fight, but also the in between the first and the second fight, Frazier's trainer, Gil Clancy, passed away.
That's right.
And that was a big loss for him.
Yeah, he passed away.
Yep.
Right. You're right.
He passed away. That was a big, they said they were very, very close, almost like a father and son. And Eddie Futch took over. Eddie Futch was the, you know, was in that second fight with him. And then in this one here as well, which came into play, by the way, at the end of the fight. We'll mention that, but yes. But I had Frazier winning the fight after 8 rounds.
Oh yeah, he was starting to really he was coming on. He was, those body shots were taking their effect. So when you get all those body shots, it makes it harder for Ali to lift up his arms to defend them, you know, to block the punches, because those body shots take so much out of you that it's hard to lift up your arms to block the punches.
Yes.
So now he's hitting them with the left hooks. And then at the start of the 8th round, this is kind of funny. He said something to Frazier at the start of the 8th round. He said, "They told me you were washed up."
That's right.
And Frazier just smiled and said, "They lied to you."
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yep, that's right. He thought, a lot of people did. They didn't think this fight would go past 7 or 8 rounds. In fact, there's a clip of the Don Dunphy, the guy that did the fight.
Yep.
He had one of the actors at ringside. I can't think of his name. He also had Flip Wilson there, believe it or not. And he had Ken Norton. Uh-huh. He had Ken Norton. Okay. And the actor was, it'll come to me later, but he was popular at that time in the mid 70s. I guess he was a big fight fan. But
I know who you're talking. I can't think of his name either, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Was it Richard Burton?
No, I'd remember him. I'd remember, he's an English actor. This was a guy that was recent, and he was recently in a big movie at about that time. Yeah. And he weighed in and said, but Flip Wilson was talking about those middle rounds, and you know, Joe's starting to smoke now. Kenny Norton gave some pretty good insight, because obviously the guy fought both of them. And he fought Ali 3 times, didn't he, Norton?
Yeah.
Once.
I don't think he ever. No, he never fought Frazier. He fought Ali 3 times.
Yes. One time, I think once after this fight, he fought him. I think twice before it, and then once again after it.
He fought the first time he fought Ali, he beat Ali. He broke his jaw, actually.
Yes.
In the first. Yep. Then they had 2 other fights, and there was one at Yankee Stadium.
Did those 2 other fights go the distance? I thought.
Yep, they all went the distance.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, all three went the distance, but the one at Yankee Stadium was kind of controversial. I think it was a split decision.
Yeah, a lot of people had Norton winning that fight.
Yeah, a lot of people thought Norton should have got the decision. Okay, so I think it was the 8th round, Allie, like you said, Allie was starting to get tired. So he tried that rope-a-dope again, tried to conserve a little energy, and he tried the rope-a-dope again. But again, Frazier pounded his ribs. And Allie's manager, Angelo Dundee, told him, get off the ropes, get off the ropes. He's killing you.
That's so, right. That's what ended up happening. That's right.
So he didn't spend too much time on the ropes because Dundee was screaming at him to get off the ropes. And then they were going toe-to-toe in that eighth round. They were going toe-to-toe. And I think Ali had a pretty good round in the eighth round.
He did.
But then at the end of the round, like you said, usually at the end of the round, Ali would score a lot of points. But Frazier got the best of him at the end of that round.
Well, Don Dumphy talks about it in the fight, and he says, I think Frazier evened it up. You know how he had that voice? Yeah. He had that voice, Don Dumphy. He had a very specific, you know, it was very, you couldn't mistake it for anything else. It was a kind of a high-pitched voice. And he goes, and he says what he said. He couldn't believe it. He goes, I think Frazier might have evened it up with like about 30 seconds left, he says it.
Yep. Yeah, that's what happened in that round. Allie was doing the rope-a-dope, then he got off the ropes, and they went toe-to-toe, and Allie got the better of that exchange. But then towards the end of the round, Frazier came back.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think that was kind of an even round.
Yes. I think, is that the round that he made Frazier took like a step back, the beginning of that eighth round?
It could have been. I don't remember.
There's a couple of times, I think it's twice in the fight. I think in the second round or the third round, and then again in the later round, one of the later rounds, he knocks Frazier's mouthpiece out. He loses his mouthpiece twice.
That was the later rounds, yep. Round 9 was another good round for Frazier. And that's another famous quote by Ali. After that 9th round, he went back to his corner and he told Angelo Dundee, this is the closest I've ever been to dying.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
He did it. I gave that round 9. I gave 9 and 10 to Frazier, actually, both.
Yep. I think after the 9th round, Frazier was starting to sense victory.
He was getting cocky.
What's that?
He was getting a little cocky.
Yeah, he was getting very confident. He was really getting confident, and I think he was starting to sense victory. Then round 10, they were going toe-to-toe again.
Yes.
And they had to be in tremendous shape for this fight because that heat, by the 10th round, that humidity and heat had to be just unbearable.
Not only that, people don't realize this. That fight took place at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, their time. Think of, what do you get out of bed and then you go box? It's all kind of insane. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it sure is. 10 o'clock in the morning, yep. You're trading punches.
Forget, people don't realize that, you know, because they had to make it where the other time zones on the globe, you know, wasn't too much one way or the other, you know?
Yeah. It was probably like a 12-hour time difference.
Yes, exactly. I mean, how late? Exactly.
Yeah. So they're going toe-to-toe in the 10th round. It was unbelievable. Neither man would give in. They were just trading punches.
I'll tell you, Mark, I had quite a bit of rounds even in this fight, mainly because Frazier was not only hitting him with the body shots, but they were great body shots. They weren't just these. They weren't just these afterthoughts. Did he mean?
No. He was putting everything he had into those shots.
Yeah, I mean, he thought if you could go to the body, if you could do damage to the kidneys and the organs in there, that eventually it would affect the other things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As the fight wore on, that was his. That was one of his theories.
That's right. Absolutely correct. Now, round 11, the tide started to turn. Round 11 was a big round for Ali. And when Frazier went back to his corner after the 11th round, his trainer, Eddie Futch, asked him, "Why aren't you ducking the punches like you did earlier?"
Yes.
And Frazier told him, "I'm having trouble seeing because my eye is closing."
Yes. Because he already had one bad eye, Frazier.
Yep, that's right. Frazier had a lot of health problems. I don't think people realize. Yeah, at that young age too. You know, he had high blood pressure.
Yes.
Like you said, he had one bad eye that he had to. He had to play a trick on during the eye exam for when he was getting his boxing license.
Yes.
He had to trick the examiner so that he could pass. Yeah, he had a lot of, he had arthritic elbow. And so once this eye started to close, the tide turned.
Yes, that blood pressure problem. That's what really landed him into the hospital after the first fight. He didn't go into the hospital right after the fight. He didn't go until a week later. And it was his blood pressure that was a big problem. They said he almost died, you know.
Yeah. He had a lot of health issues. And he was that's kind of strange because he was only in that first fight, he was only 28 years old.
Yes.
Was already having problems with blood pressure.
Yeah, there was a rumor that he did die after that first fight. Now Ali caught wind of it, and somebody had told him that the guy that talked that told him he tells the story, and I said, "Joe, did you hear Joe?" And he said, "If he did, I'll never fight again." Ali said,
"That's right, I do remember that." Now I think the 12th round is when Ali realized that Frazier was having trouble seeing.
Yep.
So he went on the attack.
Yes.
He realized something was up, and he realized that Frazier was having trouble seeing. So he really went on the attack in that 12th round.
Yes. He Frazier held him off a little. But rounds 13 and 14 were brutal for Frazier.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He especially the 14th round. That was a terrible round. That was one of the most brutal rounds they claim in boxing history for taking a beating.
He was practically at that point. He was practically fighting blind.
Yes, that's what they claim. Yes, practically fighting blind. Correct.
Now here's another interesting fact that maybe people don't realize. When his eye started to close, normally they'll put an ice pack, you know, in between the rounds. While he's sitting on the stool in between rounds, they'll apply ice to try to keep the swelling down. The ice was melting because it was so hot; they couldn't even apply ice because the ice was just melting.
That's correct.
No air condition. And whatever ice they had was just, it was all melted. They couldn't really even do anything to try to keep the swelling down.
Yeah, it was, Mark, he wanted to continue on, Frazier. I mean, you watched that 13th round. And he was throwing punches. He was missing badly.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know what he connected on for punches for percentage on the last two rounds, but it had to be very low. He was just fighting basically just on instinct and will alone. There was nothing. It was not good.
It was really a shame that it had to end that way. Such a great fight, you know.
Well,
and you wonder what would have happened. You know, what would have happened if that eye didn't close?
Yes. The other thing too is, a lot of people don't know this. They talked about it after the fight. And there's a guy that worked in Frazier's camp. I forgot his name. He talks about it on this documentary. It's an HBO documentary on the fight.
Right.
I think it's called HBO documentary, The Thrill in Manila. And if you watch it, the guy says, Ali told his guys in the corner after the 14th round to cut his gloves off. He was going to pack. Yeah. He didn't do it. What's his name? And if they did, he didn't realize Frazier was going to do it. And if they cut him off, just even maybe 15 seconds before, you know what I mean? He would have ended up losing.
That's right.
Unbelievable. People don't get that. It was like the reversal. It was like he told him and Ali's trainer didn't want to cut him off.
Yeah.
And Frazier was the reversal. He didn't want to cut him off. But his manager did.
Right. They said he had to.
Yeah, they said he saw a couple of guys get killed in the ring, Eddie Futch. Yeah. And that's what kind of influenced his decision, he said.
Yeah. And he knew he couldn't see anymore.
Yeah.
He couldn't see. That 14th round, he was practically fighting blind.
Yeah. That was listen, if people – this was the – I call it the golden age of boxing, kind of.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.